Friday the 1st of June, Rabbi Yochanan Lombard, Kohanim, Perspectives on Chinuch.
Good morning, Rabbi. I would like to share some insights I've culled from my dealing with issues of kahuna. And I've seen, noticed that a lot of insights are to be gotten from issues of kahuna as far as chinuch is concerned. Just to give some simple examples from the Torah, the one example is we have in Parashat Emor v'amalta lehazir hagdoyim alaktanim, which is actually not direct to chinuch. It's talking about the fact that an adult should not cause cotton to be over an isu. The same is true, the Chazal learn Joshes, Gabishrotim, and Dam, and we learn from all three together, Lamaisa the Yisoid, that one should not be Machi Lakotin Nevelis. But Lamaisa we find, Akolponim, that this Yisoid is written by Kohanim, Lahazr Gdilim Laktanim, and Mistam, there's a reason why it's written Dafka here. Another example is the same parasha, Bas ish koen kisechel is nois, es avia im chaleles be'esh tisoref. In other words, if eshes ish is mizano, so she's chayv misa, but, again, with hasla, with edim, etc. But if lemaise she's a bas ish koen, so the gedder is much more chomer, even though Shlomaisa minadin she's not a kohenis. As soon as she's married out, she's no longer kohenis. But since she was raised in the house of kohanim, so the Torah is more machmir on her, and lichoira there must be a reason why the Torah is more machmir on a woman who grew up in the house of kohanim. The Gemara tells a similar story at the end of Sukkah. Everyone knows about Miriam. Bas Birgo, she was from the family of Kohanim, and when she married a Yevoni, and when the Yevoni came into the Beth Midosh, so she kicked him, she hit the Mizbeach with a sandal, and said, Loikus, Loikus, Ad Matayat HaMachalel Mamoni Shel Yisrael, and she was Mivazet Mizbeach, and Chazal were Koines, they made a Knas on her whole family. And Chazal said that if she hadn't heard it at home, so this wouldn't have happened. If she hadn't heard some element, some slight element of zilzul in Mizbeach, so she could never have come to such a thing. So again we find a Bas Kohen who was raised in the family of Kohanim, and we associate her with the house she grew up in, and punish the whole base of for her maaser. Another example in the Torah is Aaron HaKohen had four sons. His two oldest ones, Nadav and Avihu, were the epitome of perfection. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose them as being an Oila Tmima, Chanukah the Mizbeach, Lekol HaDorois was with these two Oilais Tmimois. Chazal say that they were shokul k'moshi v'Aaron, they were greater than them. So Aaron himself apparently was zeicher to children. They were miyuchad ad ein shiur. Even Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't zeicher that his children should lead Kol Yisrael, even though he specifically asked for it. He wasn't given that. But Aaron's sons, two of them were taken as oil atmim, and the other two were zeicher l'deire deireis to be Kohanim. So again we see the special yichud of Aaron HaKohen as a mechanech. Another related issue is the fact that Bnei Beisoy of a Kohen, all the Bnei Bais, can eat truma. A zar that eats truma is chayav misa. But if, for example, a Bas Yisroel marries a Kohen, she now is eligible to eat truma. A bas kohen can eat truma as long as she's part of the household. So we see again that the whole family of the kohen has special kedusha that is related to that family unit. So again, we see the family unit of the Kohanim being special. Now, in understanding the basic concepts of chinuch, the first thing obviously we have to make clear is taich of the word chinuch. Chinuch is actually used by the Mizbeach. Interesting, Aaron Kohanim in the Mizbeach, chinuch, and Chanukah the Mizbeach means inaugurating the Mizbeach. Now, the concept of inauguration means that we're starting something on a way that will continue Be'ez Hashem. In other words, this is the beginning, and it will continue Be'ez Hashem in the way we started. So the Chanukah the Mizbeach was done with all the Shmuel Simei Miluim and all the preparations that the Korban should be mamish, the first Korban should be ultimately right, and the Mele, everything will go in the same direction. And the same way Chinuch, we have to start a child in a way that he will then continue. If we try, for example, to train a child, as Lahavdil, we train a pet, and we get him to do things that we want him to do, he may continue for a certain amount of time, but at some point he'll ask himself, why am I doing this? And he may decide that he wants to do something else. So the meaning of that training is not called chinuch. Training is maybe part of chinuch. It's an element of it. But be'etzim it's not chinuch. Chinuch, Shlomo HaMelech says, is chonuch lanar opidalkoi, gam ki yazkin lo yosu mimeno. Now the yisod of chinuch is starting a child on a path that we can hopefully foresee more or less where he will end up. That's proper chinuch, is getting a child to want to do something, and he'll want to do it not just now, he'll want to do it in the future as well. That's the first type of the word chinuch. Now, why is Aaron Ubono, the Kohanim, why were they so special in mitzvah chinuch? Why is there such a big tzviya on them to be mechanech their children? Why are they expected higher levels of chinuch than others? So we know, Pirkei Avos says Aaron the Kohen, his midah was oyev shalom, v'roidev shalom, oyev is a brius and a karvan the Torah. We know, for example, that Aaron the Kohen, when he passed away, so Rashi says in the spot from Chazal, the Klal Yisrael all mourned him. They all mourned Aaron. They didn't all mourn Moshe. Moshe was the money of Klal Yisrael. People had tremendous covet for him, the deference from him. But they didn't all feel so tremendously warm towards him. Aaron HaKohen personally felt very warm. Maybe as a dugma, I don't know if it speaks so much to the people here, but I remember in Eretz Yisrael when the Shlomo Zalman Auerbach passed away. So they were expecting a very small levayah. I mean, not small levayah, 10,000 people at this, whatever. They got prepared, this and that. And all of a sudden, close to 500,000 people came up. Came to levayah. And no one expected it at all. And everybody came because he felt, I have to come because I had a very special connection with him. He was a tremendous oyev shalom, brother shalom. That was, I think, a good dogma of Aaron HaKohen, that he felt personally connected to him, that I have a personal shaykhus with him. That was the need of Aaron, of oyev shalom, v'roidev shalom. And the Moshe David Vali says an interesting thing. He's a Talmud of the Ramchal. He's a Pirush on Tanakh. He says the reason that Aaron was nichshal in Chet Egel was because of this same midah of oyev isabrius and his connection to Klal Yisrael. He says in the mindset like this, that what Aaron should have done when they came to him with the zohav to make the egel, so Aaron should have said, put it down. Put it down on the floor. And then he would have picked it up from the floor, he would have put it into the furnace, it would not have come out an egel. I can say this thing, he can't. He said it wouldn't have come out an egel. But because he had shaychus to their avera, because they gave him the zav and he took it from them, he had some shaychus with him, so he had shaychus in their avera, so mamele that came out the egel. But if he had no shaychus to their avera, they would have finished their avera, put it down on the floor, and then he would have picked it up, so it would have been a new maise and have no shaychus to the previous maise, and he would have put it in the furnace, and it would not come out an egel. So you see again, the Aaron HaKohen was nichshal because he was close to Klal Yisrael, because he was connected to them. This connection to Klal Yisrael is Aaron's koach to being korbonis. Korban is loshon korov, kirva. A korban brings us closer to Hashem. It brings Hashem closer to us. That's the music of a korban. It's not what we call the sacrifice in English. English makes a lot of mistakes. A korban is kirva. We want to feel close to Hashem. We want to bring Him a present, a doyrin, Chazal say. We want to feel shaychus with Him, so we bring Him a korban. And that is the task of the kohanim to be mekarev klal yisrael to the ribbono shel olam, the korbanos. And for keret, they bring the brocha from Hashem down to us. That's duchanim. There, the gemara is mistapik with the kohanim shluchim. The dan shluchim the rachmon. The gemara says the ma'aser is both. There are shluchim to the ribbono shel olam. The ribbono shel shluchim to us. There, the ma'aser is the glue, so to speak, between us. So again, you see the music of kirva by kohanim. And that's the getter of Aaron of Oyvaz of Briyas and the Karvan La Torah. So we see this Yisoid of Aaron the Kohen, he's Mekarev. He's Mekarev, and that is a special tchuna. And I think that is one of the tchunas that causes a special tvi on Aaron and a special ability to be Mechanech. To be mechanech, you have to be close to your children. You have to be mekarev them. Chazal say legabe iktani, the small doicho v'yemin mekareves. Now what's in small and yemin? Very simple. Small is the weaker hand. So we see a certain chazal, that so long as you're mekarev more than you doiche, you can be doiche a lot. Models in Chinuch, you all know him, his name is Dov Brizak, good friend of mine, neighbor also. On Shabbos he has a Chiluk Mishnayos. So the kids come together and they learn and they have maybe 200 kinalach. Some of them the most tough and rough kids in the neighborhood who anybody who dares speak to them would probably throw a rock at them. Unfortunately, there's kids like that. And they come to the chevre, and they at the end of the chevre, he gives out candies or whatever, something. And you see them standing in straight lines, army straight lines, 200 kids, as he gives out whatever candy he gives. They don't come for the candy. They come for the pinch he gives them on the cheek afterwards. It hurts. They yipe. But he does it with love. He's mekarev them, and they're willing to listen to him to do things that they wouldn't do for anybody else in the world, because he has a tremendous moral doicha. He can demand from them, but he's yomim mekarev. He gives them a lot more than he demands. So that's the story of being mekarev, yomim mekareves in chinuch. That we have to always be mekarev a child much more than we anticipate from him. We have to give more than we demand. The Aaron is also a Kodesh. It's the same Yisoid. A Kodesh is, again, mistakenly translated as being holy. Christians use the word holy in a completely different context. The word Kodesh is Lashon Kiddushin. Kodesh means closeness. It means exactly the opposite of holier than thou, and all these other concepts we have in English. A kodesh means somebody who is close. That's the concept of kedusha. And it also means dedicated. To be makedish something means to dedicate it. Aaron was dedicated, and he could dedicate himself to others, and he could cause others to be dedicated. So we can translate chinuch possibly in terms of chinuch ha-mizbeach, chanukah ha-mizbeach, is being dedicating the mizbeach. Because in raising a child, in being mechanech a child, we're trying to dedicate him to avodas Hashem. Dedicating him not meaning we're going to brand him like a cow and force him into it. Dedicating means that we're going to raise a child who this whole mitzvah will be a rotzen to be avodas Hashem. That's the yisod of chinuch, of dedicating a child to avodas Hashem, and through kedusha, through bringing him close, through korban, to be mekarev him, and to be mekarev a child is not just through giving him things or whatever. It's listening to him, feeling for him. Rabbi Sol Salantim says that if a child makes a paper boat and floats it in the bathtub, now everybody knows what happens, you take a paper boat and you float it in the bathtub. It takes a couple minutes until it gets wet and sinks. When that boat sinks, it's the same hargosha for a child as an adult whose boat sunk. This is his boat! And when he comes crying to his father, Tati, Tati, my boat sunk. So if we look at him and say, no, what can you do? Shine. So what does he understand? What message did we just give him? We gave him a message that was important to him is not important to us. And that is a very destructive message. Now I'm not saying you have to cry over a paper boat, but you at least have to feel his tzav. He has tremendous tzav. It doesn't make a difference if it's a paper boat. He has tzav from it, and you have to relate to him and to his tzav. If he's upset about something, relate to him on his level. Try to understand him. So that's what he said is of Oyeva Zabrias Mekava Latoira, is to really have empathy and to really try to slip into a child's mind. If a person is, let's say he's learning right now, and his son comes up and wants something, so he says, no, I'm learning now. Okay, now, I'm not saying you have to stop learning for your child. But the question is, right now, what message did he just get? His father said, Torah is very, very important, and I can't relate to you right now. In other words, there are things that are more important than I am. So that can be interpreted as being there, some things that are more important. And they can be understood as being, I am not that important to my father in certain situations. And we have to be there's a very delicate chiluk. I'm not saying you have to stop learning when your child comes to bother you in the middle. But you have to at least stop and think, what message did I just give you? If you gave the extra 3 seconds and say, you know, I'd really like to listen to you right now. I'd like to hear what you have to say, but I can't right now, I'm learning. But maybe in a half an hour, these minutes, I really want to hear you. Oh, that's a different story. I didn't stop from learning, but he heard a completely different message from what he heard before. That's the Kalavan Latoyo, is to listen to how he's hearing, how he's perceiving what we say. That's one you said. One at a time. A second insight we find by Alan is that he had this is the insight of a Lev Toiv. We find that when Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to receive his shlichus, Kadosh Baruch Hu said to him, "Don't worry, that Aaron is going to be happy for you." He had a lev toiv, he was listening to Urim Tumim on his heart. That was his lev toiv that he felt for people. Along with this, Aaron HaKohen had another similar meter called Ayin Toiv. Chazal say, Toiv Ayin, Shlomo Melech said, Toiv Ayin Hu Yivorach, and Chazal Darshan, Toiv Ayin Hu Yivorach, that to give brochos, you have to have Ayin Toiv. And that's why Aaron HaKohen was zoiche to give teduchen, to give brochos. Now the Maizu, where did he get these brachas from? It says in the Targum, by Avraham Avinu, Umevarchecha Baruch, the Targum says there, Birkas Kohani. That the Koyach of Birkas Kohani was given to Avraham Avinu, who obviously had Ayin Toivah. We learned that Shlosha Elim Talmidav Shul Avraham Avinu, Ayin Toivah, the Ruach Shpila, etc. And Elim Talmidav Shul Bila Marosha, Ayin Ra, etc. So we see the Koyach of Avraham Avinu of Ayin Toivah was given down to Aaron HaKohen. As the meter of Ayin Toivah, what is the tchun of Ayin Toivah? Ayin Toivah means to see the good in others. And not just to see the good in others. When we look at another person, we always see the good, the bad, and the neutral. Question is, what do we focus on? If we focus on the good, and we can magnify it, we can look at all the details and dwell on them, and notice every little tiny detail in the good qualities of the person, we have just magnified the good in them, and that's called Ayin Toivah. Now, everyone knows how it feels to be around a person with Ayin Toivah. Person who always sees the good in us, is always giving us compliments, makes us feel very good about them and about ourselves. So what's wrong with being that way? Shigar Hashem, it's a favor. It makes people like you. But besides that, in chinuch, this is essential. Because if you want a child to cultivate the good in him, the way to cultivate, the way to fertilize those spots is to have ayin toiva. In garden, we have plants and we have weeds. How do you get rid of the weeds? One of the ways you do it is you strengthen the plants. You give them the proper conditions, they'll strangle the weeds and they'll get rid of them on their own. By seeing the good in the child, by cultivating it, by bolstering it, he will want to have more of that tchuna because it makes him feel good. The more he has this tchuna, the more he feels good about himself, so the more he'll have it. So that is a tremendous, this ayin toiv is a tremendous way of developing the good in the child. Rav Brizak has an eitza, I think it's his own, that when a child is failing in a certain area, so he suggests, he spoke to you actually a couple of weeks ago, I believe. He says, trick him into success. Make him succeed inadvertently. And when he succeeds in whatever it was, even though he didn't even mean to succeed, say yishas koyach, that was beautiful, you see? You did it. And trick him a couple of times until he thinks he really can do it. And then he'll try to do it. And then if you help him over, he'll succeed in doing it. And when he succeeds, he'll do it again. And then it can snowball into real success. He told me once he had a Talmid. He was a principal, but there was a Talmid in the school who was consistently failing every single thing. Consistently failing. And he took the kid, Talmid wasn't a big Baptist either, but he took the kid and he said, you know, I want to help you. You're going to have a test next week. I want to help you prepare for this test. And he helped him prepare for the test. How did he help him prepare for the test? He basically fed him the answers one by one. He asked him the questions that he knew were going to be on the test and taught him what the answers were going to be. He obviously added some extra questions, you know, so it wouldn't be that obvious. And he made sure that this child knew how to parrot almost the answers to these questions. And he, for a whole week he worked on it. And the kid managed to get an 80 on the test. it was the first time he ever got anything like 80. And he said, you see, if we learn together, you can do it. And he did this a couple of times and slowly fed him less and less and let him work a lot. And the child actually started succeeding. If you cause the child to succeed in any way and you say, you see, you know, you can do together, obviously, not, you don't have to give him unreasonable expectations, but you see, you can do it and you trick him into succeeding. So that's the same meat of ayin toiva, of developing the good. And the third point we're going to go to very quickly, Be'ez Hashem, is L'maise also Nugia to Parnasa Shavua, which is basically a question. If we're saying that the Miuchad of Aaron HaKohen is Ayin Toiva, seeing the good in others, so L'choira Tzapele, we find that if a person has Tzaras, so he goes to the Chochem says, yes, he has all the simonim of Tzaras, but it will not be Tome until a Kohen comes and says, Tome. The Choyah, we would think that Aaron is the last one, that the Kohen is the last person to want to pronounce Tome. He's exactly the opposite. He sees only the good, he doesn't see the bad in others. I think that's the reason why a Baal Mum is not Koshal Avoida. One of the reasons it could be, because the Kola Poisel, the Mumoy Poisel, and if he has a Mum, he's always going to see bad in others also. So in Mele, he's possible to avoid it. He has to have no mum on his own, and Mele he doesn't see any mum in others. So how can he see the tzaras? Al Kochach, we have to say, l'choira, that if a Kohen sees tzaras, it's objectively tzaras. He's not adding in his own interpretation. He's not possible to mumoy. This is, objectively speaking, a real problem. And I saw Gavaldika Yisoid in Rashi at the end of our parsha. So Peldika Rashi says that Aaron says to Moshe Rabbeinu after Miriam got Tzaras, he said, Al Nati Kemes, Asher Ye'echel Chati B'soroi. The different chatting, what's Chati B'soroi? Chati B'soroi means we both came out of the same mother, and Mimele, we're all one unit, and your sister is an integral part of you, and made it to this half of you partially died. So that's poshutatz. So what the pshat is that you should feel for her, etc. Again, we find Aaron HaKohen describing Miriam, his sister, as being his own flesh and blood. Again, the same tchuna of Aaron, of feeling that the other person is mamish, an integral part of him. This is not, you're not talking to somebody else, you're talking to yourself. This is my own problem. So, Rashi says, one of the pshatim, he says, Aaron said to Moshe Rabbeinu, who's going to pronounce her mitzvah? I can't, I'm her brother, and call her posel. And who else? So Mimele, he says, so you have to daven for her that the tzara should go away. Now, interesting, Rashi says there, mi mitam'a u mi mitara. Who's going to be mitame her? And then who's going to be mitayel her? The question's wrong. The shah is, who's going to be mitayel her? Not who's going to be mitame her. You still require that to be mitayel her, you have to be mitame him first. You have to first acknowledge the fact that there's an objective problem here that needs to be rectified. So the ma'isa tumas ha-kohen is actually a ma'isa of a tikkun. It's not a ma'isa kilku. He's actually saying, look, there's a problem here we have to deal with. We have to deal with. And we are going to deal with this problem. And the pashtis, a kohen, as we said, has a feeling for others. He's not going to say, tome, goodbye. He's going to say, you're Tomei? You? Of all people, how could it be? And he starts telling all his milas and all his things. Now how could, what happened all of a sudden? Let's think together. What could it be that all of a sudden such a thing could happen? Let's think about it together. And they work on it together until finally the coin himself is metayel him. Mi metam'a u mi metara. Again, in chinuch, you have to admit sometimes there's a problem. And you have to acknowledge it, and you have to specify exactly, objectively speaking, what the problem is. And you have to be attacking it. And it's not his problem, it's our problem. And we're going to work on it together, Be'ez Hashem. And if you don't know exactly what to do, so you go to Adam Godel, you ask him, you're Mishyais, but we're going to get through this. It's our problem, and we're going to get through it. So just to recap, we mentioned three Yisoides, I think, we can learn from Kohanim as far as Chinuch is concerned. There's a few others, but time is not it's running out. The first is, when we're trying to be Mekar of a child, we have to have him identify with our goals and our she'ifas. For him to identify with our she'ifas in life, he has to see our inner world. We have to bring him into our world that he should see what's going on within us. To bring him into our world, first of all, we have to talk. We have to not to preach at him, but to share our feelings with him. And we have to share his feelings. If we share his feelings, he'll want to share our feelings. The bond is such, kemayim panim el panim, when you want to listen to a person, he'll want to listen to you. And in Mele, by having that bond, that feeling of closeness, so the child will want to follow the father's footsteps. Gam ki yazkin lo yosu mimeno. The second is to have an ayin toivo and to focus on the good in the child, to verbally let him know that we're aware of every single detail. Not in a vague general way, but actually go into detail. Every single detail we bring out is like watering a plant. And by watering this plant, Be'ez Hashem will flourish and it'll grow more. And the third thing is, if there is talk an objective problem, so we have to address the problem, realize it's not his problem, it's our problem, and we have to work through it together, Be'ez Hashem. And obviously, these issues have to be dealt with on an individual basis. There are Baruch Hashem mechanchim one can discuss with. I just wanted to share some insights I had with the people and tell the lechachem v'yachta moed.